ball game will be getting underway very shortly. We're going to have a fine crowd here today, despite the threatening weather, as the fans watch this first duel for first place. As the Yankees and White Sox are in a virtual tie, the Yankees, percentage-wise, have the edge. They've won 10 of their 15 games, while the White Sox have played two more games. They've won one more and lost one more. They're 11-6. So this is a pivotal game as far as first place at this early stage in the season is concerned. Here are the starting lineups. For the White Sox, Louis Aparicio leads off. He's the shortstop. Nellie Fox playing second base. Minnie Minoso in left field. Ted Plazuski, first base. Sherm Lawler catching. Billy Goodman at third. Al Smith is in right field. Jim Landis in center. And Billy Pierce pitching. Pierce, for this season, has a 2-1 record. He has, of course, not faced the Yankees this year. Billy's lifetime record against the Yankees is 23 wins and 33 defeats. He's had a lot of decisions in his career against New York. Lifetime, Billy Pierce has a fine record. He's won 167 games and has lost 137. So it'll be Pierce and Sherm Lawler for the White Sox. For the Yankees, Tony Kubek at short. Gil McDougal at third base. Mickey Mantle in center. Roger Maris in right. Bill Scourin, first base. Elston Howard catching. Ken Hunt, left field. Bobby Richardson at second base. And Art Dittmar, making his first start of the season today, has a record of 1-0, picking up that victory in relief. Good lifetime record against the White Sox, 12-5. Lifetime career-wise, he is 56-58 in his Major League career. The Yankees have taken the field, and now our national anthem. And Al Lopez, far from strangers. Lopez was a catcher under manager Stengel in his Brooklyn days. Have a few parting words, pleasant ones, of course, at home plate as the umpires move to their respective positions. The White Sox in their new uniforms, new in the sense that on the back of the uniform is the name of the player as well as the player's number. So Louis Aparicio leads off, and Dittmar's first pitch is low and outside for ball one. Dittmar, as we mentioned, making his first start of the season, had a rather difficult spring, didn't seem to be able to get on track, and hopes that he may be getting back on the trail today. Low and away, ball two. Defensively, it's McDougal at third, at short, Tony Kubek at second, Bobby Richardson at first, Bill Scourin. Ken Hunt in left, in center. Mickey Mantle in right field. Roger Maris. The 2-0 pitch is a curve in for a call strike. Two balls, one strike. Louis, very swift to foot. The 2-1 pitch, it's curved, swung on, hit in the air to straightaway center field. Mantle moving back, he'll get it. Makes the catch. And there's one away. improved in the last 20 minutes. And there's a vague hint that the sun might come out. Now, here's little Nellie Fox. And you don't have to tell too much about Nellie. Most valuable player in the league last year, a perennial 300 hitter. A great man to get on base. And now the sun has come out. Low and away, ball one. Red Barber's going to take over here in just a moment on the play-by-play for you. One ball and no strikes. All right, Red, let's see what happens here now as this next pitch comes into Fox, who fouls it off into the Yankee dugout. One ball and one strike count.
Three games. The Yankees won their last four. Sox won 9 out of their last 11. Hit low inside. Fox ran up on it and had to skip rope. Two balls, one strike. Whitmore's lifetime 12-5 over Chicago. That's his work both with Kansas City and with New York. Fox is playing his 687th straight game. And that is by far a record for the most consecutive games in the league for a second baseman. The old mark set by Eddie Collins was 477. Fox has bettered it now by 210, counting today's game. Amazing record. He takes a strike and it is 3-2. Dickmar gave him a curve over. Three balls and two strikes. Delivers and Nelson swings there to trickle ball back to the mound. Dittmar fields it, throws over to first, and Fox is up. Dittmar off to Scowen. That was a high throw, but the most reached up, pulled it down. So two up, two down. No score, of course.
Number nine.
And here's Minnie Minoso back for his second pitch with Chicago. Minoso hitting 299. At plate, open stance, right hand batter. Swings at a low curve ball, took a big cut, strike one. Outfield shades him a step into left. Whitmore taking the sign from Howard. Strike one pitch, curve is hit high on top of the stands back of third base. Strike two. Howard is catching today. Bauer is down in the dugout in uniform. He's not feeling too pert. He's some intestinal ailment. They sent him home yesterday. Excuse him. The Sox have one casualty. Gene Freeze, figured to be their regular third baseman, has pulled a leg so badly that they've returned him to Chicago and he's in the hospital. Two-strike pitch is a curve low outside. Ball one. Manager Lopez and the trainer Eddie Frolik felt that Freeze would be better off on complete rest in a hospital back home than hanging around with a ball club when he can't play. He left him, he could barely walk. 1-2 pitch, swung on, grounded foul. Outside third. Count holes, 1-2. Two out, nobody on. Just percentage point separate these two ball clubs. In a virtual tie, as far as games won or lost concern, the Yankees are 667 and the White Sox 647. 1-2 pitch, change of pace, low outside, ball two. The Yankees have won 10, lost 5. The Sox have won 11, lost 6. So, whichever team wins today has first place. And to repeat, this is the sole action in the American League. The rain got the rest. Pitch is a curve low outside, 3-2. Three balls, two strikes. After this big one, we have a tremendous series with the Cleveland Indians. Tuesday night, that's the first night game of the year, and Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. And manager Stengel is planning to start young Bill Short in that key game Tuesday night. Fastball swung on, fouled off. Right, still 3-2. A ball, either the ball or the bat that came around after the foul kick Kid Howard on the left wrist. Looks at it a little bit, but he's all right. I shows it to umpire Honacek. It may have been the end of the bat because Minoso spun around like a top when he didn't connect solidly. All right, 3-2. Bitmardillo, the fastball swung on and popped up. First baseman Skine moving over to the line, now in foul ground by the coach's box, and right in the coach's box makes the catch for out number three. So Dittmar sets the Sox down, 1-2-3, and the score at the end of half an inning. Chicago nothing, the Yankees coming in.
Now let's listen to what Atlantic has to say about a really thorough lubrication.
The sound of a lubrication gun. And that's battery terminals being sprayed against corrosion. Sounds like floor mats and upholstery being swept clean. What's going on? An Atlantic Safety Service lubrication is going on. And most of the sounds you hear are extra services, bonus features from your Atlantic dealer. Like emptying crammed ashtrays, for instance. Or lubricating sticky door latches. Or checking tires for pressure as well as cuts and bruises. It all starts with a thorough lubrication based on the latest specifications for your car. Then keeps right on going with extra bonus features. Ask for it by name. Atlantic Safety Service Lubrication.
So the Yankees now got their first look at Billy Pierce, who on the basis of his early season pitching appears to be very much back on the beam. He's turned in two fine complete games. And the report from those who have seen him work is that Billy looks much more like the Billy Pierce of a couple of seasons ago. Billy had arm trouble last year, as you'll recall. But on the basis of what he's shown in 1960, this might be a big year for Billy. He gets a quick strike over to Tony Kubek leading off. Pierce ready. The next pitch, a curveball, swung on and wrapped out through center field, a base hit. Ball charged by Minoso, who comes up with it and fires into second base. It's Tony Kubek, who's hitting very sharply and particularly hitting the ball straight up the middle, opens the ball game with a base hit. Now Gil McDougal comes to the plate as Kubek opens the ball game for the Yankees with a sharp single to center. Stretch, Billy Pierce checks the runner at first base. The delivery is swung on, and there's a belt to deep left field. The wind is holding it up, however, and Minoso is going to be able to make the catch. If that left the bat, it looked like it might get clear out of here. One up and one out. And Mickey Mantle comes to the plate. Mantle hitting at 314.
Mickey against the Chicago left-hander. He'll be hitting right-handed. Is deep and straight away on Mickey. They're not shading him to left, so trying to pierce him and try and keep him from pulling. There's a curve low inside to the feet. Ball one. Despite the unfavorable weather all morning and a forecast of rain, I mean, that was the forecast every place you looked or listened all morning. We have, I would say, a very good crowd. But had we had an ideal day, there's no telling how many people we'd have had out here for this big one. Baseball is a very uncertain business. You're dealing with human beings and weather. Pitch is a strike. He got his slider just above the knees. One ball, one strike. Mantle at bat. Kubek has now made it nine straight games. Is it first with a single? One man out, no score. Pierce checks first, pitches. Mantle takes low inside. And it is ball two. Two and one. Just rubbing up the ball. Now slips his glove on. Takes the ball in his pitching hand, the left one. It's a sign from his veteran receiver, Sherm Lawler. Checks first, he's in position, delivers, and just misses outside ball three. 3-1. Lopez was saying before the game that he's having a problem getting his starting pitcher straightened out. Wynn has been wild. Score was very good his last time out and threw hard. But the bullpen has saved Chicago. 3-1 pitch. Kubek goes and Mallow hits a bounding ball down to short. And Aparicio up for the goes to first base. Just in time, Kubek goes to third. And he makes it to late base running. On a very slow ground ball toward the hole between third and short. Aparicio charged in. And Kubek, by the way, was off with the pitcher's arm. And when the throw went over to first, just in time to get Mickey, Kubek very alertly, who has he's been running bases well all season, he didn't hesitate. He went right around and on to third base. So there he is. The man was out, short to first, and Kubek breaking with the pitch. And the slow ground ball, close third first, went all the way around to third. That's a late running. In other words, instead of being content to second, he saw he could go for one more, and he took it. Now here is Roger Maris, hitting at 4.77. A time call. The catcher goes out to talk to the pitcher. Maris is leading both major leagues in hitting, a mark of 4.77. He has 9 hits in his last 14 official at-bats at the pace of 6.43. And even more important, he has reached first base safely 12 times in his last 16 appearances. 9 hits, 2 walks, and was hit with a pitch. Roger Maris. Takes low outside, ball one. We have 2 men out, no score. Stallone waiting on Dagg. Just will concentrate on this hitter, I would summarize. 2 outs, 2 back at third. The pitch is swung on a curve, missed. And it is 1-1. 1 ball, 1 strike. He slowed up on his curve ball. Maris apparently tried to slow his swing. Couldn't time it. The 1-1 pitch. Low outside, ball two. Quinlan. 2 balls, 1 strike. Roger swinging from the end. Just delivers low outside with a slider, and it is 3-1. 3 balls, 1 strike. Hatfield pulled around toward right. Just deals, and Maris takes strike two. Sharp curve above the knees on the outside. Roger turns and looks inquiringly. It played on Pahonicek. So just looks right back at him affirmatively. All right, 3-2. 2 down, 2 back at third. The pitch is low inside across the shin for ball four. And Maris continues his run of getting on. This gets him on base 13 times in his last 17 trips. And that's the meaning of baseball, is getting on. You can't score if you don't get on. So we have the Moose. Stallone is hitting 393, batted in 19. The outfield is pretty well straight away, except for center fielder Landis, who's 1 or 2 steps over toward left. Runners at first and third. Stallone cuts above a low curve ball. Strike one. No balls, one strike. Howard has moved out on deck. Stallone can save him a bat. Kubek down off third. Maris off first. Pierce. Veteran in this league. Delivers. Misses low inside to the kneecaps. Good hard. 1-1. 1 ball, 1 strike. Right fielder Al Smith is back toward the line a step. The big gap they're giving Scarron now is right center. Pitch is a change of pace and it is hit inside third base. And here's Kubek scoring. Maris is coming into third. The throw comes into third base and it is a double for Scarron inside third base. Lopez is walking out to talk to John Stevens. Because Stevens, when he had to call that ball, stepped across the foul line, and his first signal was in foul ground. Then he immediately turned around to indicate he was off balance and called the ball fair all the time. Lopez has gone down there now to ask him about the conflicting signs, which happened in a split second. The first thing that Stevens had to do, that ball was hit, it seemed to me, right over third base and at the umpire's feet. And he had to get out of there to keep from getting hit. And in getting out and giving his first sign, his body was leaning into foul ground. And then as soon as he could regain his balance, he pumped very strongly into fair ground. So Lopez is down there now talking to him about what would seem to be two sets of signs, but what I do not believe was anything more than the fact that he was just caught off balance as he started to give the sign. He was, first of all, getting away from that ball, which was sharp to hit. So it's a double for the Moose, 20 RBIs, and the Yankees draw first blood and go ahead 1-0, and here's Elston Howard, who has batted in 8 runs in the last 4 ball games, hitting .226. That had been 15 all told. So the Moose continues to ring the bell, and they're going to walk Howard, put him on the void, fill the void at first base. They deliberate base on balls coming up to Howard. And ball two. Maris is at third base. Stein, who hit himself there, is at second. Now Howard is at first, being deliberately walked. The Yankees have got 3 on, and it's battle for first place with Chicago today. They've got 1 in the bank, lead 1-0. And Ken Hunt, the young left fielder who came up late last year in September, Hunt is hitting .222. He's been doing a very good job out in left field. Takes a quick curve in for a called strike. Pierce his curveball when he throws it hard, breaks very sharply. Field steps toward left. Hunt, a right-hand hitter, overly close stance. Swings at a change of pace and hits a foul on the ground over toward the Vista's dugout, which is on the third base side. No balls, 2 strikes. Man, that Skarin is a hard man to get past, isn't he? With all that strength, he just whistles that bat and the ball goes in any direction. Pitches high inside, gets off Lawler's glove for just about 10 feet. Not enough to even tempt anybody to move on the bases. Of course, nobody could move if the lead runner, Maris, at third couldn't, and the ball was right in his face. He couldn't. 1 ball, 2 strikes. The Yankees have picked up a run after the Sox were retired in order. It's first inning. Pierce, trying to keep from getting severely bruised. Got 3 on, pitches, and Hunt takes it just inside to the hands, and it is ball 2. And Pierce is kicking on the call. He's down off the mound, a third of the way to home plate, talking to Honichek. And Billy is shaking his head now. Goes back to the mound. Sherman Lawler, a veteran catcher, is busy talking with Honichek, but he is not turning around. One thing that plate umpires don't like catchers to do is turn around on him. You're going to talk to him. Why, look out toward center field. Okay. 2 balls, 2 strikes. Hunt steps back out. Now gets in. Pierce pumps, delivers, and Hunt swings and misses at a sharp curve. That's 3. So the Yankees pocket 1 run. There were 2 hits, there were 3 men left, there were 2 walks, and they totaled at the end of the first inning for New York, 1 run, 2 hits, and no errors. For Chicago, no runs, no hits, and no errors. Cleveland was scheduled for a single game at Boston. Detroit was down for a doubleheader at Baltimore, and Kansas City was to go for 1 at Washington, and all of it has been postponed because of rain. In the National League, everything is west of here. Philadelphia at Los Angeles. Pittsburgh at San Francisco. St. Louis is getting ready to go at Cincinnati. Jackson versus McLeish. The Reds have been hot lately, haven't they? 6 straight. And Milwaukee, which has been rained out and chilled out, lost a whole series at Chicago. Well, they lost two games at Chicago. Hope to get one in today. Spahn against Hoppe. And that's getting ready to start. Ditmar is warming up as we get ready for the second inning. He'll be pitching to Pazuski, Lawler, and Goodman. There were many, many saddened people at Yankee Stadium today to learn that an old friend of ours and a stalwart figure in baseball at the Polo Grounds in this Yankee Stadium, Gus Bache, 76, died in his sleep last night. For some 40 years, he was at the Polo Grounds, especially, and up there in charge of the press box. And to those of us who work ball games day after day and year after year, that comes as quite a loss. You know, the White Sox have got the last name of the players on the back of the uniform shirts. And this guy up there, as big a shirt as he wears, he needs all the room to get all those letters up there. Klizuski. Big Clue takes a pitch on the outside for ball one. He's sitting at 280. He and Stevens have been alternating. And takes a pitch low inside. Ball two. 2-0. Klizuski really had himself a World Series, better than those runs and three homers. He's standing right up on top of the plate. It's a left-hand batter. Outfield plays him as a decided right field or pull hitter. Ditmar delivers, and Krasuski swings and hits it right through the middle for a base hit. So Ted is on. Single to center. And this is the first White Sox hit. Down single through the middle. Yankees lead 1-0, and here's the fine catcher, Sherm Lawler, hitting 286. For a couple of years, he had to carry the RBI load for his ball club, but now he's got some real help around him. The White Sox feel that they have all of the strength that they won the pennant with last year and have added a great deal more. Pitch is low inside, ball one. They've got Krasuski with them for the whole season. They've got Sievers. They've got Freeze, although he's in Chicago now with a bad leg. There's a trickle ball, a wide a third. McDougal up with it and goes to second base to Richardson just in time for the play there. No time for a relay to first. So Lawler reaches first on the force out. Third baseman McDougal, second baseman Richardson. Slow roller. Man at first and one out. We have Billy Goodman, who is filling in for Freeze. That is when the opposition goes to the right-hander. Goodman hitting 318. Slender, versatile ball player. Fellow used to be with the Red Sox. That's right. They play him to hit back into left and left center a lot. Takes low inside. Ball one. Well, we got four big ball games in a row now. This one and then the three with Cleveland. Pitches over for the strike. The Indians have been completely rebuilt. Johnny Temple from Cincinnati, our own rookie Walter Bond, big center fielder, power man. And they got Bubba Phillips from the White Sox, Romano from the White Sox, Keene they got from Detroit, Lapman they got from Chicago. They'll be in the 8 o'clock Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday afternoon. Goodman hits a foul in the lower left field seat. Infield double play death. The Yankees off ahead, 1-0. Scarron drove it in. Goodman swings and strikes out. Ditmar threw a breaking ball into his hand. Now we have two gone, and here's Al Smith. Smith hitting 294. He got hot. Eight straight hits he reeled off before they stopped it. Slam straight away. Takes low, ball one. Smith likes to stand right up on top of the plate, right-hand batter. Gives the impression that he sort of clubs the ball. In other words, it's a short swing he has at it. Didn't take the bat so far back. Pitches in there for a strike. He takes it back all right, but then when the pitcher's ready to deliver, he brings the bat to where it's almost over the plate. Then the pitch comes down, and it's a, sort of a punch swing. We're going to quite a dissertation on Al Smith. He had 237 last year, and Lopez said that that is the greatest 237 hitting he ever saw because Smith kept hitting in the clutch run. I tell you right now, a manager doesn't study a batting statistics sheet too deeply. He knows the fellow he wants up there to play, and he knows the fellows that come through. 1-2 pitch, swung on, foul back. And two. Lawler at first, ready to take off. Two men out. Pitch is a spun curve on the outside. Ball two. The way the schedule was made this year, this is just a one-game series. White Sox will be back in here again on Monday night, June 6th. Smith hits a ground ball to third. McDougal up with it and goes to second to short way for the force on Lawler. So, that's all. We have the Klazuski single and then two force plays. Sandwiched around the strikeout. And the score, at the end of an inning and a half, the Yankees one and the White Sox nothing.
The second inning, as it's beginning to darken a bit at the stadium after that brief bit of sunshine, but rain seems to be looming ever closer. Bobby Richardson leads off as Billy Pierce.
You are tuned to 1460. This is WOKO, Albany, New York. The time is 2:32.
Fastball. Working quickly, delivering again. Curveball swung on and lined into left field. A solid base hit. Minoso over in front of the ball, cutting it off, and Richardson takes a wide turn at first, but elects to hold on. Bobby got a hold of that with all his power, pulling it to the left of Billy Goodman into left field. That'll bring up Art Dittmar. In what we would assume would be a bunting situation, and the White Sox immediately set up their defenses for that. As Goodman edges in at third, Aparicio in close at short. The pitch is swung on, took a full cut and fouled it back out of play.
Straight away, not too deep. Pierce throws to first base. Here's a good move. Bobby back. Krasuski returning the ball. Pierce, who a nervous disposition fella, he likes to pitch in a hurry. He's ready. Delivers, and Dittmar sets the button and takes high. Ball one. On the sacrifice play, the batter may be given the sign to bunt, but he has the election. Unless two strikes are on him, if he thinks the pitch is outside the strike zone, or taking it. It's up to the runner to be sure that the ball is bunted before he takes off. All right, 1-0 New York. Pierce throws to first again. Richardson is again back. Time to spare. Bobby's not getting off too far on him, I'll tell you that. Pierce delivers, and Dittmar swinging hits the ball three-quarter speed to short. After he's short of Fox, relay to first base to Krasuski, double play. A little pair of cats out there, Aparicio and Fox. That ball was not hit too sharply. 6-4-3, and we have two down. Who There's Tony Kubek, who singled in the first inning, and that's extended his consecutive hitting string to 9 games. Left-hand batter. Picks a curve, low outside, ball one. Tony's now looking for his 20th hit. Snarin has 25, Maris is 21. Cuts, there's a fly ball toward the left field corner. Minoso coming over close to the foul line, and the ball slices out of play, foul, and into the stand. 1-1. Ball and strike. Short center field. Let's see, the shortstop Aparicio goes out and makes the catch. So that's all for the bid. No runs, one hit, nobody left, thanks to the DP. And totals at the end of 2 innings, 1 run, 3 hits, no errors for New York. No runs, 1 hit, no errors for Chicago.
All of the games in the American League have been postponed because of rain. Cleveland at Boston, Detroit at Baltimore, Kansas City at Washington. In the National, 2 afternoon games that will start later, Philadelphia at Los Angeles, Pittsburgh at San Francisco as the Giants try for a sweep. St. Louis and Cincinnati, Milwaukee and Chicago getting underway later, very shortly as a matter of fact. And in Chicago, snow flurries this morning, but they're going to get the ball game underway anyway. White Sox in the top of the third of a ball game that is moving along very quickly. And, well, it may be necessary for it, too, because it begins to look more and more ominous. Dittmar's windup and first pitch. Swing and a miss by Jimmy Landis, who leads off. Landis, who came along very nicely for Al Lopez last year. Defensive outfielder, and he began to hit towards the end of last year. Curveball in for a called second strike. Billy Pierce to hit next, and then Louis Aparicio around for his second time. White Sox had just one hit. That was Klaziski's up the center single. Two-strike pitch into the dirt. 1-2. Checking fairly hard. Delivering 1-2. Curve that's low and outside. That one cracked right off the shin guard of the plate umpire. 2 balls and 2 strikes. Jimmy Honacek fires that ball out of play and throws another one in. All right, Red.
2 balls, 2 strikes. Out of the second inning. Landis fouls it. On the ground. 2-2. 2 balls, 2 strikes. Two pitch. Foul back, out of play. Speaking about just scratching the surface, when the White Sox are back here again, they'll be in for a 4-game series, and 2 of them 9 games, June 6th, 7, 8, and 9. And on Monday, June 6th will be at 9, and Wednesday, June 8th. White Sox will be in for 4 games again, July 22, 23, 24. Call strike 3. Right over. And July 24 is Sunday, and that's a doubleheader with the White Sox here at the stadium. They're back again for 2 games, Tuesday night, August 23, and then the next afternoon. Now we have Billy Pierce, also is a good hitting pitcher. That's the second strikeout for Dittmar. One man gone here in the third. Here's a left-hand batter. Dittmar pitches low, a little off the fastball. Ball one. Pitch. Low outside. Ball two. It's very interesting to see this Cleveland ball club as drastically reshaped as it is. I know the Yankees are wanting to get a look at Bond, the rookie center fielder. They hit him so far. Jamie's a good big tall fella and doesn't look like he's running fast, but just chews up huge chunks every time he moves a foot. Pitches over for a strike. 2-1. Two balls, one strike. Yankees 1-0. One out, Chicago, third inning. Here swings, hits a fly ball to left fielder Hunt, who's right there for it, and we have two up. Now to start the second go-round for Chicago, little Louis Aparicio. He led the majors with 56 stolen bases last year, and he's stolen 3 out of 4 this year. Stole 6 out of 6 against New York last year. Oh, that Stengel can talk about Aparicio, and he does. First pitch is inside, ball one. Louis hitting 260. Takes low outside, ball two. You only hear Lopez talk about Aparicio and the fact that he doesn't hit so much. And said, gee, if this fella could get on base as many times as Cobb got on, why, none of Cobb's records would stand. Aparicio crouches, takes a pitch inside, ball three. Three balls, no strike. Three-0 pitch, ball four. Well, with two out, Dittmar loses him with a walk, and now he's got him on. And everybody at the stadium is going to be watching him to see if he goes. I guarantee you that Dittmar will be watching him, and so will Howard. And here is Nelson Fox. And then he gets up there, sort of crowds that pitch from behind. Left-hand batter, chokes up on the stick. It's a sort of a bottle-type bat. He just is a smart hitter. Aparicio leads off, feints. Dittmar checks him, and Fox takes a strike. Nothing in one. Two balls, one strike. Nothing ball game, New York. Aparicio taking his long lead off first. Garin holding. Nope, he didn't go. And there's Fox fouling off a curveball in the dirt. He gave it a big bluff. I almost went with him. You know, when you think about it, there's nothing really as exciting as a fella who can run and does. A fella gets on base, can take that lead, can go on you. You watch him. All right, nothing in two. No balls, two strikes. The pitch, and Louis goes. Fox swings, and there's a fly ball into short left field. Hunt is under it and makes the catch. Fox had to go for it with two strikes on him. So, that's it. And the score at the end of 2.5 innings remains the Yankees 1 and the White Sox nothing.
Gil McDougal leads it off for the Yankees in the bottom of the third inning. Mickey Mantle to follow and Roger Maris, the third man due to hit in the bottom of the third inning. The Yankees leading 1-0. Harris's windup, his first pitch to McDougal, is line in for a called strike.
Strike one pitch. Low inside. Ball one. One and one. foot left on McDougal. Just deals. It's a change of pace outside. Ball two. When he throws it that way, the ball sinks. 2-1. Curve, swung on and missed. 2-2. That one broke. Two balls, two strikes. Is swung and missed. He threw him a slider, I do believe, and McDougal strikes out and walks away. Second strikeout for Pierce. Now we have Mantle, who was thrown out on a slow roll at the short in the first inning, and that was Van Kubek, who had gone with the pitch, took the excavation, wound up at third. Becky batting right-handed. Everybody in the ballpark knows who he is. Pierce knows him, too. Delivers, and Mano takes a curve low inside. Ball one. Nicky asks plate umpire Hornacek to examine the ball. Jim does. In fact, he's doing it and finds the ball perfectly all right and returns it to the pitcher. Must have been something back in the somewhat older days when you could do anything with that baseball you wanted to. Handle swinging, fouls it into the deck. 2-1. On a chick looking at the ball, and he throws it out now. Two balls, one strike. Mickey swings as a bounce ball to third. Up with it is Goodman. The throw to Krasuski in time, and Mickey is up. Two up, two away. Last of the third. And now Roger Maris, who is having this great run of getting on base. Roger walked in the first inning, so he's been on base 13 times out of his last 17 appearances. 1-0 in favor of the Yankees. I feel well around toward right on Maris. I can't stop him pulling. Takes a curve over for a call strike. Maris hitting 477, which is the highest mark in the big leagues. Pierce will waste no time. Delivers in there for strike two. Nothing in two. Two strike pitch. Slider on the outside. Ball one. Miss Maris has sure made George Weiss's deal for him all shiny. Curve on the outside, ball two. 2-2. Something if Maris can continue hitting reasonably close to this and Skarin can stay well, then that would mean that these pitchers are going to have to start pitching to Mantle. 2-2 pitch, swung on as a line drive. It is hit to right field, but right out to Al Smith. He holds it. As Mr. Rizzuto would say, he got good wood on the ball, and the total's at the end of three. The Yankees, a run, three hits and no errors. The White Sox, no runs, one hit and no error. And as Mr. Rizzuto would say, he got good wood on the ball.
That's right, Red. The direction was a little bad. But he hit the ball well. Now let's take a look at the scoreboard. And in the American League, all other games rained out. Cleveland at Boston, a doubleheader, Detroit at Baltimore, and Kansas City at Washington postponed because of rain. We are very fortunate to have had clear weather so far. Let's hope it continues this way. In the National League, Philadelphia at Los Angeles, Pittsburgh at San Francisco start later on. The Cardinals playing at Cincinnati failed to score in the top of the first. The Reds are batting Jackson against McLeish. Milwaukee at Chicago, Spahn against Hobby, and as they started playing the first inning, time was called because of rain. So there'll be very little to report on the scoreboard today. And here at Yankee Stadium, we're hooked up in a pitcher's duel between Art Dittmar and Billy Pears. Leading off for the White Sox in the top of the fourth, with the Yankees leading 1-0, is Minnie Minoso, who popped out to Bill Scarron in the first inning. Minnie batting just under 300. With four doubles and three homers, he leads the White Sox in the home run department and also in RBIs with 16. Pitch to Minoso is hit deep to left field, and that could be homer number four, and it sure is, way back there. A home run for Minnie Minoso. And the ball game is all tied up as Big Ted Kaczewski, Mitch Minoso, coming across the plate. On the back of Kaczewski's uniform, you know, the White Sox have their names printed on the back of their uniform. The Z has been put on backwards like an S. Pitch to Kaczewski is in there for a call strike. Ted singled up the middle in the second inning. The one strike pitch is low inside, ball one, 1-1. So the score is tied 1-1. That's only the second hit off Dittmar. Kaczewski at bat now has the other base hit. Nobody out, nobody on. We're in the top of the fourth. Pitch, slow curve, just outside. Ball two, 2-1. Here's the windup. Ball line at center field, Mantle. Right there, makes the catch of a well-hit ball. Man, he hit that right on the nose. What a line drive. The ball just kept taking off. For a minute, it looked like it was going to drop in front of Mickey. As Mick started in, then he stopped, and the ball came right to him. One away. And here's Sham Lalo, who bounced to third base. Howard out to the mound to talk with Dittmar. Tony Cuccinello coaching at third base. At first base, Don Gutteris. Cuccinello's two boys are at the game today. And Tony's going to move down to Tampa, Florida, just about a block away from his skipper, Al Lopez. Lopez has finally talked his third base coach into moving to Florida. Tony's a New York boy, too. First pitch to Lalo is low, ball one. The windup, and the pitch is line fouled into the left field seats, out of play. Boy, I tell you, some kid had a lot of guts. That ball was hit on the nose. He just stepped up and stuck his hands right in front of it and got it. 1-1 on Lala. On deck, swinging the big weighted bat is Billy Goodman. Slow curve is inside. Ball two, 2-1. Line foul in the left field seats. Look out. 2-2 the count. On Lala. One out, nobody on. Tie score here, 1-1 in the top of the fourth. Dittmar's fastball just outside, ball three. Full count. Ready now for the payoff pitch. Here it is, and it's low for ball four. Art Matt Dittmar gives up his second walk in the ball game as Lalo goes down to first base. And it brings up Billy Goodman, who struck out swinging in the second inning. Goodman taking over for Gene Freese, who is not here. He pulled a leg muscle, and they've sent him back to Chicago. Freese not hitting too well. Just batting 167. All right, here's the stretch. The pitch to Goodman. There goes the runner. The ball's hit to left field, and Kenny Hunt can't get it. It's a base hit, but holding up at second is Sham Lala. As they had the hit-and-run play on, and Goodman just slapped the ball just fair inside the left field foul line. Sham Lala, even though he was running with the pitch, could not go to third base, and that's hit number three off Dittmar. And the batter is Al Smith. Smitty bounced to third in the second inning. One out, runners at first and second. On deck, Jim Landis. Lala with a short lead off second. Goodman off first. Outfield straight away, fairly deep on Smith. Time is called. Dittmar taking a little too much time, so Smith steps out of the box. Now Al's back in. Bangs his bat on home plate. Dittmar stretches. Pitch is low, ball one. Not shaking his head out on the mound. And it's starting to sprinkle right now. Starting to sprinkle as the White Sox are rallying. The score is tied 1-1 in the top of the fourth with one out, runners at first and second. The stretch. Pitch is taken as Smith started a bunt at the ball, pulled the bat back. But the ball had part of the plate. 1-1 the count. It's supposed to rain on and off all day, so let's hope that's all it does when we get this ball game in. Here's the stretch. Ball foul to the right of home plate. One ball, two strikes. The other two coaches on the White Sox, Ray Berries and Johnny Cooney. Both Berries and Cooney played with Al Lopez when Al was a player. And the rain is coming down a little harder now, but not near enough to have the game held up. There's a curve foul over towards the White Sox dugout. Picked up by Jim Rivera, who is standing on the steps. One ball, two strikes. The pitch is low, ball two, two and two. Now, a lot of the fans down in the lower box seats are scurrying back for a little shelter. The umbrellas are starting to pop up. The stretch, the 2-2 delivery is up in the air to the infield. The infield fly rule is called immediately, and Elston Howard makes the catch. Both runners hold their base. Fair ball just in front of the plate. Two away, and here's Jim Landis. Landis was called out on strikes in the third inning. Lawler at second, Goodman at first. Two men out, score tied 1-1, top of the fourth. Landis, a slim right-hand hitter. Swings and misses a curve for a strike. Jim came into the game batting 264. Has three doubles and three runs batted in. Pitch is just outside and the count's even at 1-1. Clubs hoping to get this ball game in so as not to pile up the doubleheaders later on in the season. 1-1 pitch is pop foul in the upper deck and out of play. One ball, two strikes. Somebody brought their big golf umbrella with them, all different colors. Out of protection. One ball, two strikes and two outs. The stretch. Curve popped in the air. Skowron in foul territory is under it and makes the catch for the third out. So in the top of the fourth inning for the White Sox, one run on the homer by Manny Minoso. They had two base hits in the inning. No Yankee errors and two men left on base. The score at the end of three and a half innings, the White Sox won and the Yankees won.
1460 on the radio dial. This is WOKO, Albany, New York. The time is 2 minutes after the hour of 3 o'clock.
Gives Moose 20 to Jim Gentile's 19. Gentile with Baltimore, and they're idle today. So Skowron will be the league leader in RBIs for sure when the day is over. For the Moose, it was his sixth double of the year, tying him with Roger Maris in that department. The fourth, score tied 1-1. Billy Pierce, the left-hander, ready. The pitch to Skowron is bunted foul at the plate, strike one. He had Billy Goodman deep at third. Moose has beaten out two bunts this year. And it's a good way for Skowron to keep that third baseman in and then hit one by him. Bobby Richardson's been doing it quite regularly. Keeps fluffing a bunt, gets the third baseman in, and then drills one by him. The one strike pitch is inside and low, balls 1-1 and 1. The Moose has batted in at least one run in 11 of the 15 games played. This makes 12 of the 16 games played. There's a high fly to left field. Minoso moving back, but he's got the room and makes the catch just in front of the cinder pad and just in front of the visiting bullpen. They're taking a little bit off his fastball, and that's the only reason that Skowron didn't have his sixth home of the year. Moose was a little bit out in front and didn't quite get all the good wood of the bat on the ball. One away, here's Elston Howard, who walked in the first inning. Kelly batting 226, has 15 RBI. Pitch is a strike call. Pitch is a curve hit on the ground, a shortstop broken bat. Aparicio up with it over to Kwiatkowski, and it's two away as Howard hit one right off the end of his bat. Split the handle, two away. And here's Kenny Hart, who struck out with the bases loaded in the first inning. Last year, Billy Pierce defeated the Yankees four times by losing three times to them. And in his last two starts, pitched complete game victories. To Hunter's low, ball one. A foul back on the screen, out of play. Strike one, 1-1 the count. On deck is the 1-1 delivery. It's hit foul down the third base line. Nice play by the ball boy sitting down. He didn't have to move off his chair. Two out, nobody on. Score tied 1-1. Pitches line to left field. There's a base hit. And also up with the ball, and Kenny Hunt's on with a line single to left. Number four, Billy Pierce. And here's Bobby Richardson. Pierce, not too unhappy with that base hit by Hunt. He figured if he'd have got it last time, there'd have been two runs scored on that base hit. But now with two out and nobody on, he can afford to give up a base hit. First against Hunt. Here's the stretch. Pitch is outside, ball one.
Pierce has won 167 games since being in the American League, 164 with the White Sox, which makes him the winningest southpaw White Sox pitcher in history. As the ball popped in the air to the right side, big Ted Pazuski coming over in front of the Yankee dugout makes the catch. So, for the Yankees in the bottom of the fourth inning, no runs, one hit. No White Sox errors and one man left. And the score at the end of four full innings, the White Sox won and the Yankees won. And now let's pause for station identification.
You are tuned to 1460 on the radio dial. This is WOKO, Albany, New York. Mostly cloudy, windy, and mild today with a few scattered showers, the high in the 70s.
Billy Pierce due to lead off for the White Sox here in the top of the fifth inning. And Billy has not made his appearance out of the White Sox dugout. Here he comes right now. Pierce lined to left field in the third inning. Billy's not a bad hitting pitcher. He has one base hit this year, but over the year, he gets his share of hits. Bats him left hand. It doesn't pull much. McDougal way in at third. The pitch to Pierce is hit on the ground. The right side. Skyline off his chest. Up with the clips to Dittmar in time for the out. And the Moose really blocked that bad hot ground ball with his body. And it's a good thing he did. It might have kicked right through him. One away. And here's Louis Aparicio, who fly to center field and walked. Right-hand hitter takes a fastball below the knees, ball one. On deck, Nellie Fox. Pitch is hit on the ground, and McDougal on one hop. Gill flips to Scarron, and Aparicio's an easy out. That's two away, and it'll bring up Nellie Fox. This is one of the few times I've looked at the batting averages and seen Fox below 300 any time of the year. And came into the game batting 288. He's 0 for 2. Hit back to the box and line to left field. Two out, nobody on. Score tied 1-1. Top of the fifth. Pitch is hit on the ground. Richardson coming in fast. Up with it. Flips to Scarron for the out. And that was a real easy inning for Dittmar. It seemed to me like he threw only three pitches. I think all three men hit the first pitch. Yeah, that's the way to have an inning. And for the White Sox, nothing across. The score at the end of four and a half innings. The White Sox won and the Yankees won.
It's got that big take.
Time you're in the mood to enjoy good food, enjoy it even more with a refreshing glass of Ballantine Ale. More than a thirst quencher, different than any beer, Ballantine Ale has a big, big taste that really goes over big with food. A big, big taste that comes from Brewer's Gold. Try Ballantine Ale with any meal. See what a difference an ale makes.
Oh, that Ballantine.
It's the genuine.
The score, we're ready to go in the bottom of the fifth inning, and Art Dittmar will be leading off. Dittmar bounced into a double play in the second inning. White Sox throw the ball around the infield. They're just percentage points behind the Yankees, and should the White Sox win today, they'll go into first place. Frank Rossetti is yelling in at Billy Pierce and the ball. He wants them to take a look at the ball. As Aparicio, when he got the ball, rubbed it up. And Fassetti wants him to look at the ball. He said that Pierce is supposed to rub the ball up. Remember, we had this discussion down in Baltimore. Hunterchick, looking at the ball, says it's all right and throws it back to Pierce. And the White Sox bench gets on Fassetti a little bit. side, Billy Pierce ready to go. Pitch to Dittmar's hit right at the shortstop Aparicio Louis on one hop. Goes to Kozuski and it's one away, and the boys are going after the first ball. That'll bring up Tony Kubek, who's single at center, to increase his hitting streak to 9 in a row. 9 games that Tony has hit safely in. And in the second inning, Kubek popped for the shortstop. Pitch is popped in the air to the left side. Aparicio moving back on the edge of the outfield grass. And makes the catch. That's two away. Two up, two down. The rain is starting to drift down again. And they need one more out to make this an official ball game. Bill McDougal flying to left and struck out swinging. Two out, nobody on. And Gil wants the rosin bag. Weather like this, the bat handle gets a little slick. Mickey Mantle on deck flips it to Gil. Gil flips it back to Mickey. We're ready to go. Pitch to McDougal. It's a curve high inside, ball one. Gil is hitting four straight games. Pinson has just hit a home in the second inning with the bases loaded. And Cincinnati leads the Cardinals 4-0. The Reds are really playing great ball. They started off slow, but they've really come back strong. Pierce into the windup. Kicks. Delivers a curve. Hit on the ground at third base. Goodman up with it. Goes to Kozuski in time to get McDougal. And the Yankees go down 1-2-3 here in the bottom of the fifth. Nothing across. The score at the end of five full innings. Chicago won and the Yankees won. And later on this month, the Yankees return home for a big holiday weekend. Baltimore will play here Thursday night, May 26th, and Friday afternoon the 27th. And then the slugging Washington Senators move in for the season's only Saturday night game on the 28th, followed by a game on Sunday, May 29th, and a big holiday doubleheader on Memorial Day, Monday, May the 30th. That'll be the season's first home doubleheader. Better order those tickets now, fans. In the top of the sixth inning, Minnie Minoso, who popped to first and hit a tremendous home run to tie up the game, leads off, takes the curve low, ball one. For Minnie, it was his fourth home run of the year and his 17th run batted in. On deck, Ted Kozuski. Dittmar, another windup. Pitch just outside, ball two, 2-0. Really funny looking out there. Looks like the sun's trying to pop out. And then way out in center field, it's very hazy, and here it's raining. Pitch is hit foul outside of third. Two balls, one strike on Minoso. Minnie, who usually leads the league in getting hit by pitch balls every year because of the closeness to which he stands to the plate. His right foot is just about as close to the plate as you could possibly get, as close as the law allows, that's the law being the umpires. And when he leans over, his right elbow and part of his body is almost over the plate. So on those tight pitches, he can get hit with a pitch that is almost a strike. The 2-1 pitch is low, ball three. Kozuski with a big towel trying to keep his bat handle dry on deck. The 3-1 pitch is a strike call. Three balls and two strikes. Dittmar hit the outside corner. Full count on Minoso. Here we go for the payoff pitch. Changeup foul in the upper deck and back of first. Count holds at 3-2. ready for the 3-2 delivery. It swung it and missed strike three, and Minoso goes all the way down and sits down on the ground. Minnie trying to get himself another home run. That's strikeout number three for Dittmar. And here's Ted Krasuski, who singled to center and fly to center. Actually, he lined out to Madeline center field in the fourth inning. 1-1 the score, top of the sixth, one out, nobody on. Krasuski stands close to the plate. Man, his right foot is almost on home plate. He's a left-hand hitter. And Dittmar is complaining about it, and plate umpire Jim Hunnicek says it's all right. Boy, that right foot is really close. He can reach any pitch that's over the plate. And he hits a foul outside of first base. Backhanded by the ball boy down the first base line. One strike on Krasuski. And you can't really hit him on the fist because on every pitch he sort of steps in the bucket towards first base and tries to pull everything. And even if the pitch is on the outside part of the plate, he can still pull it. One strike on Krasuski. Changeup hit on the ground, foul again outside of first. Nothing in two on Big Clue. Dittmar checking the sign from Elston Howe. Fastball hit on the ground to Scowen. He backs up, plays it on the big hop. Goes to Dittmar covering in time to get Krasuski. That was a tough play for the Moose as he backed up and waited for the big hop. Two away, here's Schirmlala, who bounced to third and walked. McDougal rubbing up the ball before throwing it back to Dittmar. Every time it hits the grass now, it'll get a little wet, a little slippery. Dittmar wants a new ball. Jim Hunnicek looks at it and flips it back to Dittmar. Matter of fact, Cuccinello complained a little bit because McDougal rubbed up the ball, just as Grissetti did before when Aparicio rubbed up the ball. Pitch to Lala is low for a ball. Tony almost won the batting championship in the American League one year. He battled the late George Sternway to the Yankees right down to the wire before George beat him out on the last day of the season. Pitch is low, ball two, 2-0. White Sox won and the Yankees won. We're in the top of the sixth. Ready into the windup. Changeup right down the middle for a called strike. Lala bends down to pick up some dirt. Sherm had a rough spring. He didn't hit too well, but he's doing all right now. The minute of the game batting 286 has eight doubles and seven runs batted in. Another changeup in there. Strike two, 2-2 the count. Dittmar pulled the string on two consecutive pitches. Balls, two strikes, two outs. Curve just outside, and it's a full count. 3-2. Here's the, and he started a pitch, and then Lala asked the time, dried off the bat handle. Just ready to say, here's the payoff pitch, but here it is this time. Change up, popped in the air to short right field. Richardson moving back, signaling for it, under it, and makes the catch, backing up for the third out. So he fooled Lala on the change again for the White Sox. They go down 1-2-3, nothing across in the top of the sixth, and the score at the end of five and a half innings. The White Sox won and the Yankees won.
It's got By the left-hander. The pitch to Mickey is low inside, ball one. Mantle has scored in 11 of the 15 games he's played in so far. Up till today was leading the majors in runs scored with 19. The 1-0 pitch is in there for a called strike, 1-1 the count. Ready, kick, sends in a fastball, hit on the ground to short. Aparicio has to hustle to throw in the dirt, in time as Suzuki picks the backhander out of the dirt. A pretty play by Big Clue. A high hopper that Goodman tried to get as he cut in front of Aparicio, couldn't quite get to it. Louis had to wait for the big hop and hurried the throw, threw it a little bit in the dirt. Suzuki came up with it on a fine play, and they just did nip Mantle. Just did get him by half a step. That's one away. Here's Roger Maris, who walked and lined out to the right fielder. Pitch to Roger is hit on the ground at first base. Lazuski's up with it and races to the bag to beat Maris for the unassisted putout. That's two away, and here's the Moose, who's responsible for driving in the Yankees' only run today with a double in the first inning, then flied out high and deep to left field in the fourth. Nobody on. Score side 1-1. Bottom of the sixth. Pitch to Scarron is inside, ball one. One nothing pitch. Strike called on the outside corner. Billy Pierce has been mixing his pitches up today more than we've ever seen him. Billy's quite confident that he's going to have another real good year. 1-1 pitch, high inside, ball two, 2-1. Pitchers can usually tell when they're throwing free and easy and their ball is moving and it goes where they want it to go. The 2-1 pitch is fouled back off the upper deck, down to the lower deck. 2-2 the count. Herb Score is quite happy with his performance the other day down in Washington. Got his first win since last July the 3rd. That'll be a big pickup for Score. There's a drive to right field. Smith digging to his left and makes the catch just in front of the right field fence. Moose didn't quite get the good wood on it. But Al Smith, after a nice long run, hauled it in, and the Yankees go down 1-2-3. Right now, we get ready to go. We're playing the top of the seventh inning in a tied-up ball game, 1-1, as Billy Goodman steps into the batter's box. And coming on is Mel Allen.
Thanks, Bill. Hello there, everybody. One all in the seventh inning, and here's Billy Goodman. Smith and Landis to follow. The pitch, Billy swings and rams it out. Backhanded by Richardson. A throw to Scarron. In time, every play. Richardson, electrifying the crowd, racing over to his right, backhanding a sure base hit, apparently whirling and tossing to Skaron in time to get Goodman. Al Smith up, pitches low and outside, ball one. A 1-1 ball game in the seventh inning. Smitty grounded to third and popped out in front of the plate. Art Dittmar delivers inside to Smith. A 2-0 count. The White Sox and the Yankees battling tooth and nail, as they generally do. Dittmar checking with Howard. The right-hand hitter, Al Smith. Here's the pitch. And it's over. Strike one. 2-1. Crowded him with a fastball. He got the inside part of the plate. Two balls, one strike. The windup by Dittmar, and the pitch, fastball is low. 3-1. Innings is the most that Dittmar has pitched this season. He's just swinging his arms around, or he's getting a little arm weary or not. The 3-1 pitch to Smitty, swung on, hit foul down the third baseline. Full count. Bobby Richardson coming up with a crowd-pleasing play and a crucial play in the game. 1-1, seventh inning. Full count on Smith. Landis on deck. Dittmar to the windup. Around comes the right arm. The payoff pitch is inside. Ball four. Smith walks. The third pass issued. Now here's Jim Landis, who looked at the third strike and fouled out the first. Pierce to follow. One on, one out in the seventh of the 1-1 ball game. Dittmar into the stretch. Smith with the lead. The pitch inside, ball one. Strikes, one out, one on. Dittmar, who works rapidly. Here's the pitch, and it's very high. 2-0 the count. Landis steps out now and takes a look at Tony Cuccinello, coaching at third. Smith watching Kubek and Richardson to see how far they are adjusted from second base. Dittmar to the stretch, and the pitch. It's inside, ball three. Three balls, no strikes. And the Yankee bullpen now gets to stirring around. 3-0 count on Landis. Dittmar's pitch. Ball four is high, and that moves Smith to second. Dittmar with one away in the seventh has walked two in a row. As every indication, he's beginning to tire, not having gone more than five innings any other time this year. And here he is into the seventh. Howard goes out to the mound with Skaron to talk to him a bit while Billy Pierce comes to bat. Pierce lined to left and grounded to first. Smith on second, Landis on first. One out, 1-1, seventh inning. Pitch to Pierce. Swung on. There's the base hit into center field. Here's Smith rounding third, coming in to score. The throw to third base, and Landis is in there. Billy Pierce singles to left center. And the White Sox lead 2-1. Billy Pierce driving in his first run of the year. The fleet-footed Jim Landis racing on to third. The ball was hit in the left center. One out. Runners on first and third, and Louis Aparicio at bat. Fly to center, walked, and grounded to third. And the White Sox are out in front now, 2-1, with a chance to increase the lead. The pitch to Aparicio swung on and fouled off down the third baseline. Strike one. Speed on the bases, at least speed on third and at bat. Here's the delivery. Swung on, bounce to Richardson, over to Kubek. He'll have to hurry, and it's a double play. Tony had to fire that ball to double up Aparicio. One run for the White Sox. One hit, no errors, and one left on. At the end of six and a half innings, Chicago 2, New York 1. You know how the excitement of a ball game gives you an appetite, so you're all set to enjoy your dinner as soon as the game is over? Well, that kind of appetite deserves big eating pleasure, and you get just that when you enjoy the big, big taste of Ballantine Ale with your meal. And whether you sit down to a juicy roast of beef, golden southern fried chicken, tender broiled lobster, I tell you, you'll find Ballantine Ale complements any of your favorite meals with an excitement all its own. That's known as Brewer's Gold. And it's a rare strain of hops used exclusively in Ballantine's own true ale recipe to give Ballantine Ale this big, big taste, to make it more than a thirst quencher, different than any beer. So with your meal after the game, have your Ballantine Ale and discover what a difference an ale makes. Ballantine Ale with Brewer's Gold. In the last half of the seventh inning, Elston Howard, Ken Hunt, and Bobby Richardson are the first three men at bat. The numbers 6, 7, and 8 hitters in the order. 2-1 in favor of the White Sox. For you late tuners in the first inning, Kubek singled, Maris walked with two outs, and Skarin doubled Kubek home, sending Maris to third. Howard was purposely passed, and with the bases loaded and two outs, Ken Hunt struck out. Manny Minoso led off in the fourth, hit a homer. And then in the first of this inning, Smith and Landis walked, and Pierce singled Smith home to give the White Sox their one-run advantage. 2-1 as we play in the last of the seventh. Howard walked and grounded to short. Billy Pierce into the windup. Around comes the left arm. The pitch is in there for a strike. Billy gave up two hits in the first inning, one in the second and one in the fourth. Hector Lopez is out on deck to hit for Hunt. Here's the pitch to Howard. Swung on and grounded foul by Crosetti, coaching at third. Two strikes. No balls, two strikes. Pierce delivers, and Howard takes it inside for a ball. Game is being played now in a drizzle. Now the pitch. Ellie swings and pops it up. Kozuski moves over into foul territory, and he's got it. Howard fouls out to Kozuski. Eight in a row retired by Billy Pierce. Hector Lopez will hit for Ken Hunt. Lopez at 6 for 27, batting .222. Sherman Lawler goes out to talk to Pierce. See how they're going to pitch him. Esposito replacing Goodman at third base for defensive purposes now. Sam Esposito. Number in Chicago, seventh inning. Hector Lopez batting for Ken Hunt. The delivery is over, strike one, nothing and one. Pierce to his windup and the delivery. Swung on. There's a fly ball into left. Minosa is under it and makes the catch. Two away. Nine in a row retired by Billy Pierce. Yankees have had only two base runners since the first inning. Bobby Richardson single to left and foul the first. Two down in the seventh. 2-1 Chicago. Into the windup, pitches. Richardson takes a strike. Fastball in there. 19,053 paid attendance. 19,744 overall, including servicemen admitted free. The left-hander's delivery is over the outside corner. Strike two, nothing and two. This is the, as they say, the old Billy Pierce, meaning the Pierce of year before last and before that. The two-strike delivery on its way. Swung on, a fly ball foul down the right field line, out of play, dropping into the lower stands. Two men away now in the seventh. Pierce to the windup, and the pitch is swung on and fouled off, and the count remains nothing and two. And Pierce is ready. Here's the pitch. Richardson swings and misses. Strike three. And the side is retired. No runs, no hits, no errors, no one left on. It's been three up and three down for the Yankees over the last three innings. And counting the last man retired in the fourth, following a single by Hunt. 10 in a row that Pierce has retired. At the end of seven innings, the White Sox, two runs, four hits, no errors. Five left on. The Yankees, one run, four hits, no errors, and four men left on base. Grab yourself a Ballantine Ale right now, will you? Made with Brewer's Gold. It's the genuine. As we glance at the scoreboard, Cleveland to Boston, Detroit to Baltimore, Kansas City to Washington, all rained out. And in the National League, Philadelphia at Los Angeles, Pittsburgh at San Francisco, later starts. Cincinnati leads St. Louis 4-0 at the end of three and a half innings. Jackson and McLish. Beta Pinson got a grand slammer, second of his career. Milwaukee, Chicago had gotten underway with Spahn and Hobby, but rain intervened in the first half of the first inning and eventually forced the postponement. Cleveland is at the stadium Tuesday night, Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. Then the Yankees hit the road. Right now we go to the eighth inning. Fox, Minosa, and Kozuski coming up. Art Dittmar on the mound. Hector Lopez is in left field, having hit for Hunt, staying in the game. Dittmar's pitch to Nelly is inside, ball one. Fox hit to the box, fly to left, grounded to second. Here's the delivery. Swung on and fouled off over in the Yankee dugout. One ball, one strike. McDougal shortened up at third. Fox, of course, hits to all fields. Nelly backs out of there for a moment. One pitch from Dittmar. Look out. He's kicked by a curveball. Just barely nicked him. Just sort of grazed the shirt, and he's on. Fox is on, hit by a pitch ball. And now here's Manny Minosa, who fouled the first, hit a home run, and struck out. Nobody out. Fox aboard. Dittmar pitches. Minosa swings and hits a slow roller to third. McDougal throws on to first base to Scourin. And he's safe. Moose off the bag. The throw, Moose shifted his feet and came off the bag. So it'll be an error charged on the play. Going to second was Fox. Let's see, now they call it a base hit. They call it a base hit for Minosa. So, presumably, Skyron didn't come off the bag, but Minosa beat the throw. Here's Ted Kluszewski. The pitch is low and inside. Ball one. One ball, no strikes. Kluszewski single to center, line to center, and grounded to first. Two on and nobody out. 2-1 Chicago in the eighth inning. Dittmar delivers. Swung on and hit foul down the first baseline. One ball, one strike. Big clue up. Dittmar into the stretch. Runners lead away. The pitch. In there. Strike two. One and two. Fox off second. Minosa off first. The pitch is swung on and missed. Strike three. Got Kluszewski on a change of pace. Four strikeouts for Dittmar. Now Sherman Lawler, who grounded to third, walked and popped to second. Two-one Chicago. Fox leads off second, Minosa off first. Sherman Lawler, the batter, Esposito on deck. To the stretch. The pitch to Lawler, changeup is in there. Strike one. Took a little off fastball. Again, the stretch runners lead away. The pitch is low, and the count's one and one. Pitch to Lawler. Swung on. Line drive over third for a base hit. Fox turns third. Comes in to score. Many on his way to third. And he's in there with a slide. And it is 3-1 Chicago. Lawler lines a single to left to drive in the third Chicago run. And Minosa speeds in the third. And Casey now is out of the dugout. Dittmar, who had pitched three hit ball over the first six innings, began to tire in the seventh with one out when he walked Smith and Landis and was reached for a hit by Pierce to drive in the second Chicago run. Had worked only five innings in any given appearance prior to today. In relief. This was his first start. And so the bullpen now gets a call. Dittmar worked seven and one-third innings, giving up six hits, walked four, and struck out four. Has been charged with three runs and is responsible for the two men aboard. Duke Moss is coming out of the bullpen. Sox will restore them to first place in the league. The Yankees were ahead of them before the start of the game today on percentage points, having played two games less, having won 10, lost 5, while the White Sox have won 11 and lost 6. In a virtual tie for first, but on percentage points, the Yankees were ahead of them. Something had to give today, though. The Yankees had won 4 in a row, and the White Sox 3 in a row. The White Sox started poorly and then really swung in the other direction. They won 9 out of their last 11. The Cleveland Indians will be in to New York on Tuesday night and Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. Now Sam Esposito steps in. First time he's been at bat. He replaced Goodman, a field, in the last of the seventh. He was in a similar situation in the seventh inning with one run in and runners on first and third and one out. The Dittmar induced Aparicio to ground into a double play. So Al Lopez, remembering that, may or may not put on some play. In other words, he may have Esposito trying to squeeze Minnie home, may have him swinging away. We'll see. Lawler's not a fast man on first. Minnie on third is fast. The pitch, there is the bunt, and they've got Minnie trapped. The throw to McDougal. And throw to Howard, and Minnie is being chased, and they throw to Kubek, and Minnie's out. Down to second goes Lawler. To McDougal, to Howard, to Kubek, with Lawler, meantime, reaching second on the attempted squeeze. Ball was missed at the strike. So Al Lopez did put something on, trying to beat a possible double play, trying to make sure of one run. But he has another runner in scoring position, and Esposito takes the curve now, low and outside, 1-1. 3-1 in favor of Chicago. That was a suicide squeeze, too. Minnie just broke. Kept on, instead of, you know, taking the big lead, stopping and seeing if the ball is laid down. Here's the pitch, and it gets away from Howard, and there goes Lawler over to third, and he's there with a diving head-first slide. 2-1 count on Esposito. The official scorer's call. A 2-1 count on Esposito. He scored as a wild pitch. Lawler on third. The windup by Moss, the pitch, and it's low. 3-1. Al Smith on deck. Now they've switched and called it a pass ball. A 3-1 count on Esposito. Moss to the windup. Round comes the right arm. The pitch is bunted. And the runner, let's see, wait a minute now. It hit Esposito and then rolled out. It hit him in the face and then rolled out onto the field. There's no play. I think it hit him in right around the eye or face, and Ed Frolick, the trainer, comes out, and Al Lopez, but Esposito's all right. With we're looking at the play, of course, from the back. We didn't see the ball spin off the bat, hit him in the face, and then rolled out. You could tell, though, almost immediately thereafter, the way McDougal sort of nonchalantly played it, and Lawler wasn't moving. And then the umpire almost at that time then signaled. Full count on Esposito. Two away. Lawler on third, one in the eighth, 3-1 Chicago. A payoff pitch. swung on and hit foul out of play to the left of the plate.
On the radio dial, this is WOKO, Albany, New York.
Moss to the windup, and the pitch swung on and popped up toward first. Scarron under the ball, waiting, and he's got it, and the side's retired. Esposito pops out to Scarron. One run for Chicago. Two hits. No Yankee errors. One left on for the White Sox. At the end of 7.5 innings, Chicago 3, New York 1. Yes, sir, we're all singing about Ballantine Ale these days. Hope you'll join us. That big, big taste is worth singing about. It's a pleasure to quench your thirst anytime with Ballantine Ale. But, you know, if you want to taste this ale at its best, see what it can do for steak or chicken or lobster at mealtime. You'll really agree, Ballantine Ale is more than a thirst quencher. Different than any beer. Try Ballantine Ale with Brewer's Gold real soon. Last half of the eighth inning. Andy Carey is coming up to bat for Duke Moss. Andy Carey is nothing for one this season. Tony Kubek on deck and Gil McDougal to follow. Sox 3, Yankees 1 in the 8th. Billy Pierce into the windup. And the pitch. Swung on it. Foul, foul, down the third baseline. Just barely foul. One strike to count on Andy. So close, it scorched the bag going by. Here's the one strike pitch. Curveball over, strike two. Came in high, started in high, and then dropped in. Nothing in two on Andy. No balls, two strikes. Esposito guarding that third baseline. The windup by the left-hander, the pitch. Swung on and missed, strike three. Andy Carey hitting for Duke Moss, strikes out. Pierce didn't waste any time with him, recording his strikeout, which is the fourth and two in a row. Struck him out on three pitches. Now Tony Kubek, who opened the game with a single to center, popped out to Aparicio twice since. Pierce ready, delivers, and it is inside, ball one. 3-1 White Sox, last of the eighth. The 1-0 pitch. Kubek's taking it, it's in there, strike one, 1-1. Game being played in the drizzle. The next offering. In there, strike two, 1-2. And Pierce is gaining strength as the game nears its conclusion. He's retired 11 in a row. The 1-2 pitch. swung on and missed. Strike three, and three strikeouts in a row. And boy, is he putting on a show. Finishing with a flourish. Retired. The last man in the fourth, and we're playing in the last of the eighth. Gil McDougal flied to left, struck out, and grounded to third. Starting to drizzle harder now, and the wind is sweeping it right into the seats. Into the seats that are recessed under the upper deck. Pitch to Gil. Ball. A little high. One ball, no strikes. Nothing pitch. Over, strike one, 1-1. The veteran Billy Pierce swings to the windup. Here's the pitch, and it's into the dirt. Bounces by Lawler. 2-1 count. Making his fourth start, he's won two and lost one. He's taken up the slack occasioned by early wins. Early failures. Last year, Billy had an in-and-out season. He won 14, but lost 15. The 2-1 pitch to Gill. It's outside, ball three, 3-1. He works fast, as does Dittmar. Three balls, one strike. Now the 3-1 pitch to McDougal. Swung on, grounded to short. Aparicio up, but it throws on to Kozuski, and the side's retired. Fourth consecutive inning in which Billy Pierce has retired the Yankees in order. He's retired 13 men in a row. 14 out of the last 15... No hits, no errors, no one left on. Let's see now. 3, 6, 9, 12. He's retired 13 in a row. 14 out of the last 15. One, two, three, four, five before that. That'd be 19 out of the last 20. Is that right? He's retired 19 men. Out of the last 20. How about that? We pause for station identification.
1460 on the radio dial. This is WOKO, Albany, New York. 11 minutes after the hour of 4 o'clock.
Johnny James is coming in to pitch the ninth inning. Moss worked two-thirds of an inning. Didn't allow any hits. No walks, strikeouts, no runs. While Moss only pitched to one batter, yet he achieved two outs because on the bunt effort, Minoso was trapped. And then he proceeded then to retire Esposito. In the American League, no games, all rained out. Cleveland at Boston, Detroit at Baltimore, Kansas City at Washington. In the National League, Cincinnati 5, St. Louis nothing, end of six innings. McLeish against Jackson. Beta Pinson hit a grand slam homer. And Gonzalez hit a singleton. Milwaukee at Chicago with Spahn and Hobby rained out in the first inning. Philadelphia at Los Angeles, Pittsburgh at San Francisco, later starts. Johnny James faces Al Smith in the ninth inning. 3-1, White Sox. Little right-hander's pitch. High, ball one. James in his third relief appearance. No wins or losses. Worked one inning against Baltimore and two against Baltimore. From Pacific Palisades, California. The pitch to Al Smith is low, ball two. 2-0. Smith, Landis, and Pierce, the bottom third of the order. And the bottom third of the order changed the ball game around the seventh inning with the score tied Dittmar, himself tiring, walked Smith and Landis, and Pierce singled Smith home. A 2-0 pitch, swung on, fouled off upstairs, strike one. Then in the eighth, Fox was hit by a pitched ball. Minosa had an infield hit that moved Fox to second. And Lawler lined a single left to score Fox. Minosa had homered in the fourth. The Yankees got their run in the first inning, and a single by Kubek, a walk to Maris, and Skyron's double. Now the pitch, outside, ball three. The Yankees got the bases loaded, but Ken Hunt, with two outs, struck out. And since that first inning, the Yankees have had just two base runners. Here's the pitch, way outside. That ball is ball four. Howard, forgetting that Smith walking, turns first, and Smith goes on to second. Howard with a mental lapse. Ball bounced in the dirt and rolled to the backstop. Howard turned around to Jim Honeycheck to get a new ball. And suddenly, Moose came tearing, hollering, go get it. It was ball four, and Smith reaches second on a walk. That's something you rarely ever see. Now Jim Landis is at bat. Landis took a third strike, fouled to first, and drew a walk. Al Smith reaches second on a base on balls. The pitch is low and inside for a ball. We'll get the official scorer's verdict in a moment. They could leave it just as a wild pitch because the ball hit way outside and rolled back. It's more of an error of omission on the part of Howard. The pitch is over for a strike, one and one. But we'll see how they call it officially. They're having a discussion. The fourth ball is actually a wild pitch, but had Howard hustled back for it, it wouldn't have been anything, just ball four. But his sudden mental blackout, and he just reached around for the umpire for a new ball, could be considered an error of omission. The pitch to Landis, he started to bunt, takes it inside. Ball two, 2-1. However, they may look at it another way. They're still discussing it. I'm just wondering. Two balls, one strike. They've given Howard an error. The pitch swung on, fouled off upstairs. A 2-2 count. Two balls, two strikes. And that becomes the first error of the game. Johnny James delivers, swung on, a ground ball hit to short. Smith holds second. Kubek throws on to first, and Landis is retired. Now Billy Pierce, who lined to left, grounded to first, broke the tie with a run-producing single in the seventh, and really has pitched tremendous ball today. Tough inning was the first one. He gave up two hits and two walks. Got out of it with one run and three left on. And since then, Richardson singled in the second. And Hunt in the fourth. Pitched to Billy, low for a ball. They're the only two Yankees that have gotten on. Retired the Yankees in order in the fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth innings. Pitch swung on, hit to the box. Smith holds second. James throws over to Skarin for the second out. And here's Louis Aparicio. Fly to center, walk, grounded to third, and grounded to second. I was just checking here. Since the first inning, only only two men out of 22 have reached base, and one of those was erased in a double play. So you can say one out of the last 21, or two out of the last 22 have gotten on for New York. Aparicio lifts a high pop-up. Kubek drifts over toward the third baseline, makes the catch in short left, and the side is retired. No runs, no hits, one error, one left on. At the end of 8.5 innings, Chicago 3, New York 1. Do you know what really makes Ballantine Ale more than a thirst quencher? You'll find a lot of difference in the brewing of Ballantine Ale, of course, but the one big difference that adds to your enjoyment of this ale is Brewer's Gold. Now, this is a rare strain of hops grown and sun-ripened in the Golden West and used exclusively in Ballantine's own true ale recipe. You discover Brewer's Gold as soon as you take your first swallow of Ballantine Ale, because it's Brewer's Gold that gives this ale its big, big taste. So by all means, quench your thirst anytime with Ballantine Ale, but if you really want to enjoy the big difference in taste that comes from Brewer's Gold, try Ballantine Ale with any of your favorite meals. Then you'll see what a difference an ale makes. Ballantine Ale with Brewer's Gold. Last half of the ninth inning. White Sox leading 3-1. Mantle, Maris, and Scarron coming up for New York. Pierce, who has retired 13 in a row and has permitted but two men in the last 22 to get aboard. All set to work. Mantle grounded to short, third and short. 12-game hitting streaks on the line. Swings and misses, strike one. One strike. Pierce ready, and the pitch. Swung on, bounce over third, down the left field line for a base hit. Mantle turns first. He's heading for second. Smith, or rather Minosa, throws into Aparicio. It's a double for Mantle. Consecutive game which Mantle has hit safely. He bounced the ball over the head of Sam Esposito. Roger Maris, who walked line to right and grounded to first, steps up. Chicago 3, New York 1. Here's to the windup and the pitch. Swung on, the base hit in the right center field. Mantle turns third, comes in to score. Maris holds it first, and it's 3-2. And out of the dugout comes Al Lopez. As Roger Maris drives in his 18th run. With Scarron coming up, Al Lopez is out of the dugout. We're going to have a new pitcher. Jerry Staley is, please, is that Staley? Yes, Jerry Staley. Jerry Staley coming in to relieve. He of the famed sinker ball. Lopez didn't want to have anybody coming in that might come up high with the pitch. The object, of course, is to keep the tying run from getting around. The runner on first, nobody out. Staley is a sinker ball specialist. He throws knockers and curves and fastball. If he tries to set you up for the sinker, hoping you'll hit it on the ground and start a double play. 3-2 Chicago. Ninth inning. Staley to the stretch. And the pitch. Swung on, lined out into right center for a base hit. Maris turns second. Smith chasing the ball. Here comes Maris around third. And he holds up. He holds up at third on a double by Scarron. Maris was held at third on Scarron's double to right center. Now Casey goes out to talk to Elston Howard. Howard drew an intentional walk in the first inning, grounded to short, and fouled out to first. The infield is in for a play at the plate. Maris on third, Scarron on second, and Howard up. And they're going to put him on. He's to get an intentional walk with a tying and winning runs in scoring position. Howard is getting the intentional pass. Hector Lopez is due up next, and Casey calls him over to talk to him. It appeared that Maris might have come on around to have scored the tying run. But they held him up, and so now the bases are loaded as Howard walks. And Hector Lopez, the batter. He hit for Ken Hunt in the seventh inning and flied to left. Chicago 3, New York 2, and time has been called by Casey Stengel. Casey asks for time. He's going to get calls Ralph Houck over. A runner for Howard, maybe. I don't know. Maris is on third. Scarron on second. Howard on first. It'll be a runner. Cleet Boyer running for Howard. Meantime, Staley's getting a few more warm-up pitches. And so we're ready to continue. Now the White Sox infield is still in. In other words, they hope to go from the infield on a ground ball to the plate in first base and still hold the lead and hope to get the next man. Hector Lopez up. 3-2 Chicago. The windup by Jerry Staley and the pitch. It's low, ball one. He's keeping that ball low. Pitch to Lopez over the outside corner for a strike, one and one. Corsetti goes over to talk to Maris. Scarron on second, Boyer at first, running for Howard. The infield in. 3-2 Chicago. Jerry Staley's pitch outside, ball two, two and one. Balls, one strike.
.1460 on the radio dial. This is WOKO, Albany, New York.
And it's ball three inside, three and one. The rain is coming down. The count three and one on Hector Lopez, Maris on third, Scarron on second, Boyer on first running for Howard. Infield in, 3-2 Chicago. The windup, the 3-1 pitch. Swung on a little roller towards third. The play is in for plate, and they got Maris. And the bases remain loaded, and one out, 3-2 Chicago. A little roller down toward third. Esposito threw in the lauler, and Maris is forced at the plate. And Bobby Richardson is the batter. And so Jerry Staley, who was one pitch away from forcing in the tying run, gets Lopez on a little roller to third, who threw Esposito through to the plate to force Maris. And the White Sox now have one out, bases loaded. And Richardson is being recalled, and we'll see who will hit for him. possibly Yogi. Yogi Berra is coming out of the dugout. Coming up to bat for Bobby Richardson. Well, the Yankees, who are trailing 3-2 with nobody out and the bases loaded, still are trailing 3-2 with one out and the bases loaded. Scarron on third, Boyer on second, and Lopez on first. Is back deep. We're going to have a runner for Scarron, and it'll be Joe DeMaestri. DeMaestri to run for Scarron. Fox is back deep to protect against the right side with Esposito and Aparicio in close. Klazuski in close. So it'll take a long fly to get the tying run home. Jerry Staley in relief of Billy Pierce. End of the windup. Runners lead away. The pitch to Berra. Swung on. Little roller down toward first. Klazuski throws into the plate. Two outs. How about that? They got two men at home now. And it's still 3-2 Chicago. As Berra grounded to Klazuski, who threw to the plate. And now, with the bases loaded and two outs, the pitcher's due up. And so the Yankees, who had all the chance in the world to tie the score and win it, now will be lucky, let us say, if they get the tying run home. Jerry Staley has induced the last two batters with the bases loaded to force the tying run at the plate. And he had a 3-1 count on Hector Lopez where the base is loaded and nobody out, and has gotten the next two men. So it's been a dramatic game. And Kent Hadley is coming up to hit for Johnny James. Thus, the situation has been reduced now to anything but an out to tie the score. Whereas the score could have been tied on a fly ball. But now, with Kent Hadley coming up, there are two away and the White Sox leading 3-2. Kent Hadley coming up. Boyer on third. Lopez on second and Berra on first, and two away. Jerry Staley, after giving up a double to the Moose and an intentional walk to Howard, has just been tremendous. Two outs, three on, 3-2 Chicago, ninth inning. The windup by Staley, the pitch to Hadley. Swung on and fouled back, strike one. Balls, one strike. Infield back now at normal depth. Jerry Staley to the windup. In comes the pitch to Hadley. Swings and fouls it off. Strike two. Back of third. No balls, two strikes. The veteran Jerry Staley with the spotlight on him now. Two strikes on Kent Hadley. Three on, two out on the ninth. He's into the windup. Here's the pitch to Hadley. And it is outside for a ball, one and two. Mighty close. One ball and two strikes. A 1-2 count. He ain't gonna see much to hit at, I'll bet you. And the pitch. And Hadley swings and bounces it down to Fox. Fox loses the ball, and he's safe at first. And the tying run scores. Safe at first when Fox couldn't handle the ball. And it's a tie ball game. For the bases loaded, the base hit for Hadley. Game finally at 3-3 on a ground ball, which Fox, going far to his left, he slipped and trying to handle the ball, it rolled out of the glove and he couldn't make the play in time. The Lopez moves to third, Barrett to second as Boyer scored, and here's Tony Kubek, who singled, popped to short twice and struck out. 3-3, two outs. Kubek up, two down. Staley to the windup, and the pitch to Kubek. Swung on, the line drive to right. Smith there and takes it, and we go into extra innings. Kubek lines out to Smith. Two runs for New York in the last of the ninth. Four hits, no errors for the White Sox, and three Yankees left on. And at the end of nine innings of play, it's 3-3. Chicago, three runs, six hits, no errors. Seven left on. The Yankees, three runs, eight hits, one error, and seven men left on base. So the folks who were getting ready to leave sit back down again. And while it's raining, we're going to have some changes. Kent Hadley will, of course, go in at first base. Now, in the last of the ninth, to recap it, Mantle, with the Yankees trailing 3-1, led off with a double. And Maris promptly on the first pitch singled him home. That signaled the end for Billy Pierce, who had pitched tremendous ball. Ben Scourin greeted Jerry Staley with a double to right center. Maris, it appeared, might have scored, but they held him up at third. And then in the light of later events, it looked as if he had never... or anybody else scored, even tied the game. For Howard was purposely passed. Boyer went in to run for him. And Hector Lopez, with a count of three balls and one strike, and the bases loaded and nobody out, topped the sinker toward third, and Esposito threw to the plate to force Maris. And with the bases remaining loaded, DeMaestri had gone in to run for Scourin. Barra batted for Richardson, and he grounded to first. The throw went into the plate. It was a slow roller, no chance of the double play. And another force out at home. Then Hadley hit for James and reached first base when Nellie Fox could not handle his grounder, slipping as he went over in behind first base. And Hadley was safe at first. Boyer scored and the game was tied up. And that's the way she goes. Now Fred Kipp comes on to pitch for New York. Joe DeMaestri goes out to play second base in place of Richardson, for whom Barra hit. Yogi is going to stay in and catch. Boyer ran for him. That means Barra will hit in the eighth spot in the order because he batted for Richardson. And DeMaestri will hit in Scourin's spot, which is fourth in the order, since he ran for Scourin. And Fred Kipp, you see, Hadley is staying in to play first, so we have to find a place now to put Fred Kipp. We'll put him in Elston Howard's spot. Moria went in to run for Howard, so Kipp will bat fifth. And before we go to the 10th inning, we'll pause for station identification.
You are tuned to 1460 on the radio dial. This is WOKO, Albany, New York. 19 minutes before the hour, 5 o'clock.
Kipp comes in to pitch as we go to the 10th inning. And for the White Sox, it's Nellie Fox leading off, Minnie Minos on deck, and Ted Kozuski to follow, unless the situation demands Roy Sievers in there for Kozuski. Fox hit to the box, fly to left, grounded to second, hit by a pitched ball. Batting 288. Lopez in left, Mantle in center. Maris in right, McDougal short, McDougal third, Kubek short, DeMaestri second, Hadley first. The pitch to Fox. Swung on, a ground ball, hit to short, Kubek up with it, throws on to Hadley, one away. Now Minnie Minoso, who homered in the fourth inning after having fouled out to first, struck out and beat out a roller to third. Fred Kipp, the 6'3", 198-pounder from Kansas, his fourth relief appearance, has neither won nor lost. The Yankees bought his contract from the Dodgers. Minnie digs in, and he'll be taking the full swing. Fred Kipp into the windup. Around comes the left arm. The pitch swung on, hit foul down the right field line, out of play. Strike one. Dittmar was taken off the hook. And Pierce, too, by the ninth inning rally. Here's the pitch to Minnie. Change up, and it's in nicely. Strike two. That ball floated up there. Strike pitch to Minoso. Inside, ball one. The 1-2 pitch to Minnie. Low into the dirt, and Kipp slips down. He took a long stride and stepped into the wet grass, and his feet went right out from under him. A 2-2 count on Minoso. Count on Minnie. Kipp into the windup, and the pitch swung on, hit back through the middle into center for a base hit. Mantle comes in and had to pick the ball up after it stopped its roll. And here is Kozuski coming up. One on and one out in the 10th inning. Catching, DeMaestri at second, Hadley at first, and Kipp on the mound. The changes in the first of the 10th for New York. The left-hander to the stretch, the pitch to Clue, high, ball one. Here's the pitch. That's low outside, ball two, 2-0. count on Klazuski. Single to center, line to center, grounded to first, struck out. Minosa leading away from first. And the pitch. Strike call, curveball, 2-1. One count on Clue. Many leading away. Throw over to first. Minosa's back. The 2-1 pitch. Swung on line to right field for a base hit. Minosa will go to third. He turns second. On his way. Maris tossing it back in to DeMaestri. And there are runners on first and third. And one out. And Casey out of the dugout. Klazuski lines a single to right, sending Minosa to third. And Jim Rivera will go in to run for Klazuski. Jim Rivera goes in to run for Ted Klazuski. Fred Kipp, who came in the 10th with one out, gives up hits to Minosa and Klazuski. Sherman Lawler will be the first batter the new pitcher will face. So this game has become a real Donnybrook. Looking toward the bullpen. Jim Coates. Jim Coates is coming in. Jim Coates coming in the 10th with one out. Fred Kipp worked a third of an inning, allowed two hits, and is responsible in the earned run averages for the men aboard, and also be the pitcher of record should the White Sox score and the Yankees fail to do so. Will the White Sox go ahead with a sufficient number of runs to beat the Yankees here in the 10th? He would be the pitcher of record for the loss. The rain's pretty widespread today. It's been raining here for, I'd say from about the middle of the game on. Sherman Lawler now steps in as the White Sox slash right back with one away. Singles by Minosa and Klazuski have put runners on first and third. Jim Rivera has gone in to run for Clue. Infield back. Lawler at bat. Right-hand hitter. He singled in the 8th to drive in a run. Coach to the stretch. Here's the pitch. It's outside, ball one. Lawler grounded to third, walk, popped to second, and single to left. Speed on the bases and power at the plate. One out. Coates pitches, and Lawler takes it low for ball two. 2-0. Coach, runners lead away from first and third. The pitch, there goes Rivera. The ball is hit out towards second. Backhanded by DeMaestri. The throw to first, not in time. Minosa scores, and it is 4-3 in favor of Chicago. Al Lopez had him running. That ball's hit through the middle. DeMaestri made a nice stop of the ball in behind second, but had no steam behind his throw to first. And Lawler is credited with a single and a run batted in. Runners on first and second, one out. And the Sox are out in front 4-3 with Sam Esposito stepping up. He took over for Goodman in the seventh inning. Grounded to second and popped out to first. One down. Jim Coates delivers, and Esposito takes it inside. Ball one. Sherm Lawler driving in two runs in the game, nine for the season. Minosa leads the team with 17 RBIs. Al Smith has 10. Seavers, 11. Jim Coates ready. And the pitch. High and inside. Ball two. Two balls, no strikes. White Sox back out in front again in the 10th inning, 4-3, one out and two on. Jim Rivera taking a good lead off second. Lawler off first. 2-0 pitch. In there, strike one, 2-1. Rivera, he might take off and go to third. You never can tell with him. The stretch by Coates. And the pitch. Outside for ball three. 3-1. Al Smith is on deck. A 3-1 count. Rivera taking a bigger lead off second. Lawler off first. One out. The 3-1 pitch to Esposito in there. Strike two. Full count. Three balls, two strikes. Jim Rivera on second. Sherm Lawler on first. We'll watch them, see whether they're going or not. One out. The stretch. There they go. The pitch swung on. It's a high pop foul. McDougal and Yogi. And Yogi makes the catch. Near the White Sox dugout. Runners retreat, of course. Two outs, and the batter's Al Smith. Grounded in third, popped out in front of the plate, and walked twice. Jim Landis on deck. Al Smith stepping in. Rivera on second, Lawler on first. Two down, one in the 10th inning, 4-3, Chicago. Jim Coates to his stretch. And the pitch to Smith is in there. Strike one, nothing and one. One strike. Runners leading away. Coates' pitch swung on. There's a looper out over second, and it'll drop for a base hit. Rivera around third comes in to score, and it's 5-3 Chicago. Al Smith drops a Texas League single into right center. Scoring, Jim Rivera, who had gone in to run for Ted Kluszewski. Both those runs charged to Fred Kipp. Lawler stops at second. And now it is 5-3 Chicago with Jim Landis coming up. He struck out, fouled out the first, walked and grounded to short. So the White Sox are back in possession of their two-run lead. Coates' delivery in there for a strike. Second, Smith on first. Now the pitch to Landis. Swung on. There's a drive to deep right field. That ball is going, gone. A home run for Jim Landis. Scoring Lawler and Smith ahead of him. And it is a five-run 10th inning for Chicago. And they lead 8-3. three runs, of course, being charged to Jim Coates. Jim Landis riding a pitch to the opposite field, into the right field seats. Five runs in the 10th inning. And the White Sox lead 8-3. And now here's Jerry Staley, who is the recipient of those five runs. Jerry Staley coming to bat. He's been up at bat twice this year. Pitch is inside. Ball one. One ball, no strikes. A 1-0 count on Staley. Jim Coates delivers, and it's low. Ball two. Fifth home run hit off Jim Coates. Jim's pitch in there for a strike, 2-1. Five hits in this inning by the White Sox with the smasher, the three-run homer by Jim Landis, frosting on the cake after the White Sox had gone ahead 5-3. The pitch in there for a strike. It's now 8-3 in favor of Chicago. Jerry Staley, who took over for Pierce in the ninth, at bat with a 2-2 count. Now the pitch hits outside, ball three, 3-2. Full count on Staley. He's the eighth man to come up in the inning. The payoff pitch. Swung on and fouled off to the right of the plate in the upper deck. Count remains 3-2. The defending champions in the American League slashing back with a five-run 10th inning. The 3-2 pitch. It's in there, called strike three, and the side's retired. Five runs for Chicago. Five hits. No Yankee errors and no one left on. With one out, Fred Kipp had come in to pitch, got Fox on a grounder to short. Manosa singled to center, went to third, and Kozuski singled to right. That was all for Kipp. In came Jim Coates. Lawler singled through the middle, Manosa scoring. And with two outs, Smith dumped a single to right, scoring Rivera, who was running for Kozuski. And then Landis sliced a three-run homer into the right field seats. Before we go to the last of the 10th inning, how about going into the kitchen, getting a bottle of that Ballantine Ale with a big, big taste. Discover its refreshing, satisfying goodness. Now to the last of the 10th, Earl Torgerson playing first base for the White Sox, and Gil McDougal at bat. Jerry Staley in relief of Billy Pierce pitching to Gil McDougal, who takes ball one. Gil flied to left, struck out, grounded to third, and grounded to short. Mantle on deck and Maris to follow. The White Sox came up to the big five in the 10th inning. Out in front, 8-3. Staley delivers. Gill takes a strike, 1-1. The 1-1 pitch swung on, little roller. Staley up with it, throws on to first, one away. He's got that sinker down to perfection. Here's Mantle, who started the Yankees off in the ninth inning with a double. He grounded a short third and short prior there, too, extending his hitting streak to 13 in a row.
1460 on the radio dial. This is WOKO, Albany, New York.
There's a strike. Nothing and one. Now the pitch swung on, lined in the center for a base hit by Mantle. Landis tossing back in to Fox. And here's Roger Maris, who walked, lined to right, grounded to first, and single to left center. Damaris is outside for a ball. One ball, no strikes. Elmer Ballo is out on deck to hit for DeMaestri. Maris takes a strike over the inside corner, one and one. Eight to three, White Sox, 10th inning. The pitch to Maris, swung on. There's a high drive into right center. Smith moves over, gets under it, and makes the catch. There are two down. And Elmer Ballo coming up will hit for DeMaestri. Elmer Ballo. Nothing for three. Jerry Staley in position to be credited with a win and still preserve, still has a chance to preserve his spotless earned run average. Delivers to Ballo over the outside corner for a strike. Since the two runs in the ninth were charged to Pierce, first two men up in the inning got aboard. Now the delivery, outside, one and one. One ball, one strike. Two men down. Staley's pitch swung on and grounded foul past Ralph Hout, coaching at first. The 1-2 delivery, high and away, 2-2. The White Sox will be back at Yankee Stadium on Monday night, June 6th. Tuesday afternoon, the 7th. Wednesday night, the 8th. And Thursday afternoon, the 9th. They got a four-game series in here in June. The pitch to Ballo, swung on, pop foul, coming back and out of play. Two balls, two strikes. And the delivery. Swung on and foul back out of play. Into the mezzanine. Here's Daly's pitch. Swung on and popped up. Fox getting under it. Waiting, and the ball game's over. And the White Sox win it 8-3. No runs, one hit, no errors, and one left on. The totals, the White Sox, 8 runs, 11 hits, no errors, and 7 men left on base. The Yankees, 3 runs, 9 hits, 1 error, and 8 men left on base. Jerry Staley, the winning pitcher, and Fred Kipp, the loser. Billy Pierce went 8 innings and pitched brilliant baseball after the first inning when the Yankees got one run on 2 hits and left the bases loaded. The next 22 men came to bat, only 2 of them got on base. He retired the Yankees in order in the 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th innings. And then in the 9th inning, Mantle opened with a double, and Maris singled him home. And Pierce went out, and Staley came on, and Scarron doubled Maris to third. And after an intentional pass to Howard, had loaded the bases. Staley then turned on that sinker, resulted in 2 top rollers that resulted in 2 force outs at the plate. And Hadley got a scratch hit that enabled the tying run to come in. And then the 10th inning, the White Sox went to work.